Okay. I'd like to call the special meeting of the Board of Directors to order. And could we have a roll call, please, Carol?
President Graves.
Here.
Vice President Steele.
Here.
Director Dawson.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Tatro.
I'm here.
Okay, this is the time for public comment. The public is allowed to speak up to 3 minutes on any item that is not currently on the agenda. Is there any comments from the public?
It's about items D2 on the agenda.
Okay.
I had the same exact complaint about your notice of item D2 tonight that I did about the item D2 which was on the notice of the November 16th special meeting. It's quite possible they're the same item, and the fact that we can't tell whether it's the same item is the reason for my complaint. The problem is simple, and it was described in some detail in the letter that I wrote, dated November 29th, regarding that November 16th notice. The description in item D2 does not comply with the Brown Act, and I'm talking about the D2 for tonight. It gives the public no idea whatever of what the matter is about, so the people know what it's about in advance of the closed session. Now, Neumiller and Beardsley has put a guide which advises you of what the Brown Act means. It's in your own director's handbook, and quoting just from two portions of that guide that Neumiller and Beardsley has provided to you under the heading, "What are the rights of the public under the Brown Act?" They say, "The public has a right to know the nature of matters that will be discussed in closed session." And that's what I'm complaining about. You can't read the description on the notice and have any idea what the nature of the subject is. Also in Neumiller and Beardsley's guide, which they have given you under the heading of conclusion, "The reason for any closed session must be disclosed both on the agenda and orally prior to convening the closed session." It's not on the agenda. It may be described orally. At the November 16th meeting, it was described orally, and within a few seconds, you were into the closed session with no opportunity for anybody to understand what it was you were going to talk about and make any comments about it. And that's the nature of the complaint that I have. And I can't for the life of me understand why you refuse to follow your own counsel's advice in the Brown Act. I guarantee you, if you did, it would take me a lot less time and you a lot less time taken by me in these kinds of discussions. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Any other comments?
Did you say you can comment on things not on the agenda?
Correct. This is time for public comment. These are for items that are not on the agenda.
Point of order.
No.
Your notice under, since this is a special meeting.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Limits it to items that are before the board for consideration. Mm.
Then I feel more comfortable coming up.
Great.
Thank you. I'm going to discuss the general manager evaluation, and I hope that the board will be able to rely on its expertise to very actively participate in the review process. I expect the general manager will put together his thoughts regarding his past, current, and future objectives and his accomplishments and challenges. But the board ultimately is charged with evaluating him, and I just ask the board to do that actively. Because the outcome of the process should benefit the general manager and the district by ensuring there's a consensus between the general manager and the board regarding his work. And there's no doubt there are areas of strength in General Manager Howard's work. There are also areas of challenges and successes and failures, and they all ought to be discussed. And I would like to comment, if it's appropriate now, on a few. Is it appropriate now to do that?
This is your 3 minutes.
Okay, just want to make sure I'm not. So I think as a strength, Mr. Howard is very organized and friendly, and I certainly appreciate that. I think there are failures in, for instance, Mr. Howard was involved and largely responsible by his own admission for the controversy that arose regarding the medical benefits for board directors. As a concern, I think Mr. Howard did not involve the board in discussions regarding his ongoing attempt to force the insurance carrier to provide coverage for a director. I attribute his actions as a desire to please a director that outweighed, in his mind, his duty to the district as a whole. The fact that members of the public became aware of his attempts to obtain coverage through a public records request before the board was even aware of it was a demonstration of a failure to keep the board apprised of an important issue. As a strength, I think Mr. Howard is generally very responsive to questions and comments posed by the public. I understand how busy he is, and I've often been impressed and surprised with his willingness and ability to respond to questions. I think that's excellent. As a concern, Mr. Howard has a stated goal of providing the most efficient service to 50% plus one, or majority of the district. And I think the board should review this belief with him and attempt to reinforce a more appropriate goal that's not based on majority rule. I know it sounds nice, but his role is not to please the majority. It's to carry out the duties of the district. As a strength, I think the staff seems to very much respect and like Mr. Howard. As a challenge, I think Mr. Howard should provide coaching to the staff in a way that creates a more positive and productive environment, especially with regard to customer service issues. I think that he could more actively coach his staff to appreciate their service to the public is best provided without judgment on those seeking information or their methods.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Flint. Appreciate it.
Okay.
At this time, I would turn the meeting over to counsel to take us into closed session, please.
Thank you, President Graves and board members. The board is now adjourning into closed session regarding action items D1 and D2. Thank you, sir.
So at this time, I would ask that all but the board members please leave the building. And I would ask General Manager Howard to leave at this time also, because and we will bring you back for item D2 if you would do that. Is that correct, sir?
Do you want me to remain? Or
would you yeah, counsel, would you stay at this point because of some procedural questions we may have?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you, folks.
Oh, it's cold.
Everybody's got ice on their foreheads.
Frosty.
Okay. I would now like to move out of closed session into open session. Council, could you please bring us into open session?
Thank you, President Graves and board members. The board is reconvened from closed session regarding action items D1 and D2. All 5 board members were present during the entirety of the closed session. There is no reportable action on either item, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. At this point, I would like to adjourn the special meeting of the board.
Can we have
what time is it?
It's 7:02.
I'd like to call to order. Are we on?
Yes, we're on.
Okay, we're recording. I'd like to call to order.
What you want? Want to wait for 5 minutes for break?
No. I'd like to call. It's 7:00. Call to order the regular meeting at the board. Board of directors of the Town of Discovery Bay. Would you all please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
President Graves.
Here.
Vice President Steele.
Here.
Director Dawson.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Here.
Thank you. Today is a rather, excuse me, today is a rather special day in our history. Today is the, today, December 7th, 2011, marks the 70th anniversary of the attack on Hawaii at Pearl Harbor and the American naval base by the Empire of Japan. Those attacks led President Franklin Delano Roosevelt to declare war on Japan and the United States' entry into World War II. In his famous speech to Congress that day, the day following the attacks, President Roosevelt stated that the bombing of Pearl Harbor is, quote, a date which will live in infamy, end quote. On that day, more than 2,400 Americans were killed and more than 1,100 sustained less than fatal injuries. The attack sank four U.S. naval battleships and damaged four more. It also damaged or sank three cruisers, three destroyers, one mine layer, and damaged 188 aircraft. But it also woke up a sleeping giant. Tom Brokaw, the most prolific journalist and writer of that time, noted that it was at Pearl Harbor that the greatest generation was forged. He said, it was the end of innocence and the beginning of greatness for your generation. He told survivors at the 2006 Pearl Harbor Remembrance Ceremony. Today, 70 years later, President Roosevelt's words still resonate with the new generation fighting for freedom. We will never forget, we will never falter, and we will never be divided. God bless America. At this time, it's the time for public comments. If anybody has any items that they would like to speak on that is not agendized, this would be the time that you would come forward to do that. I would like to remind the public that, as has been the policy in this board for as long as I've known it, there's a three-minute limit. Please come up and be prepared so it doesn't appear that you're not finished. Just prepare yourself, come up, and you have your 3 minutes. Are there any comments from the public?
There's a yellow piece of paper right under the paper.
I apologize. I have a yellow sheet here from Mr. Richardson for public comment.
Thank you. The board has a bad habit of sweeping unpleasantries under the carpet before there's been a complete accounting given to the people. And I hereby request a full accounting on three examples tonight. First one is, President Graves accused me of saying that he had a mental health problem. He produced no evidence that I had done so prior to his accusation. At the last November 16th board meeting, he continued to make that unsubstantiated accusation. And as long as he does that and refuses to make a full accounting of the truth of the matter, I will continue to send letters condemning his conduct to the grand jury, which he complained about, and many others. The second item that I wanted to talk about regards the benefits program for directors. There are many questions which have not been answered, such as who made the decision to include directors, when was that decision made, and how was it made? In addition, who was the director who asked to be included back at the beginning? We need a full accounting of that issue. And number three, repeat of the special meeting we just had, you have a November 29th letter from me pointing out how you violated the Brown Act by the process you use to conduct the November 16th closed session. You not only violated the Brown Act, you also violated the advice given to you by Neumiller and Beersley's Public Officials Guide to the Brown Act. The people have a right to have you conduct closed sessions in accordance with the law. Your commitment to doing that is needed. And in summary, you should not ignore these issues as you're wont to do. The people are entitled to an explanation and an accounting. And please give us that accounting for each of these three issues I have mentioned. There is usually plenty of room on your agendas to do so. Thank you.
Any other comments from the public?
Thank you. President Graves, my question is, how long is it going to take you to realize that accusing the people in the room during the September 21st meeting of putting forth accusations that you suffered from mental illness was a self-serving and inaccurate statement and, in fact, a mistake? So far, you've adamantly resisted the truth and taken it further by accusing Bill Richardson of being a liar if he denied having made the mental health accusations on which your accusations were based. Then at the last meeting, you denied any recollection of the lengthy October 6, 2011 telephone call that you initiated with me, at least in as much as you accusing Mr. Richardson of being a liar. And it's simply ridiculous. I brought these facts before you and Mr. Howard in hopes that you would come to the appropriate conclusion and appreciate that there's no justification for your remarks and that we could put this matter to rest. Instead, you act as though you can say and do anything you like without any accountability. Earlier, when you violated a board resolution with our vote for the LAFCO commissioner to replace David Pifo, you took a similar approach. This approach is more or less, I am President Graves and I will do what I want and say what I want, and no one can do anything about it. Perhaps, President Graves, you're right, but the public has every right to expect more. So now you can respond with another attack on some lack of accuracy in my statements and then refuse to allow me to respond. But that's not going to put this to rest. And you know, my criticism, I've also criticized Director Dawson for having made comments regarding my mental condition. To your credit, the rest of the board has denounced those statements, but not Director Dawson. He hasn't commented on them at all. We've all heard Director Dawson lament public comments that are critical of the board. But let me be clear, I'm not criticizing the board. My criticism is directed to President Graves and Director Dawson and stems from unnecessary, self-serving, and inaccurate comments that they've made. And I'm not raising a policy disagreement here either. My concern is a foundational one. Our elected representatives must be truthful. So as Director Dawson is fond of reminding us, we're all human, we all make mistakes. Mistakes, however, need to be corrected. Correct the record, gentlemen, and limit your comments to accurate ones so that criticism can end. Thank you.
Any other comments? Fantastic. Okay, moving on. This is the time for our area agency reports. Let us start with, hey Tony.
Hi.
Sheriff's Office report.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
My name is Tony. I'm the crime prevention specialist out here in Discovery Bay for you guys. I just handed out the crime stats for the last month. They look really good. Overall, 20% down.
Oh, what you guys do the rest of the month?
I love that. One single page for savings. I like that. Residential burglars, we had three of them. Two of them were family members, basically, or known acquaintances. Mm-hmm. One was an actual good bird with a kick door. So other than that, there's not much there. I like that. You notice there's a lot of suspicious activity calls. That's, in my opinion, from my viewpoint, is why we have only one little page back and forth. The community is keeping their eyes out and they're calling stuff in. In my opinion, you see a suspicious circumstance right there, you're preventing a bird, you're preventing a car, some other crime that's being prevented. That's just how it is. Any questions from anyone?
Any questions from the board on this report?
I have one.
Brian?
I just wanted to say this looks great. I mean, I'm used to three or four pages, so this is nice. And
really good. We've been really putting the officers out there on the streets.
Yeah, please pass on, you know.
You didn't even reduce the font. That's pretty good.
Let the resident deputies know they're doing a great job.
I made the page bigger, though. And then one other side note, I want to thank everyone for the toy donations that we have been getting, and I could see the barrels full back there. I know the town of Discovery Bay has been doing a real good job on that aspect of it. Again, the 14th will be my last day for the barrels out, but I'm going to take everything. This weekend, there's several events that are going on, the parade of lights and such, so we expect a little bit more. There's a couple parties that are going on that they're going to be collecting toys and such with. So we're doing good. Right now, the toys are a little low, but hopefully over the weekend, it'll pick up. We identified approximately 180 kids this year, how many invitations that we sent out. If all goes the same as years before, we're looking at probably 120 that will show up. So should be a good event. So and I'll report on that event next month after that event. That's going to be actually on the December 16th, which is a Friday.
We're actually having our Lions Christmas dinner this week, and to get in the door, you bring a toy.
That's right.
I talked to them, left a message.
So. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Monday and Tuesday, I'll have a better picture of exactly what we have and everything. And that'll prep, and then we'll get what we need.
Great. Are there any questions or comments from the public?
All right.
Tony, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tony.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much.
Chief Burris.
Hello, board.
Do you have more than one page?
Yeah, barely.
Anthony only had one page is all yet.
Yeah.
No, he had double sided, so he's actually better than him.
Chief Burris, it's your floor.
Okay. Hello. I see a lot of familiar faces here. So, EMS calls medical. We had 43 in October, down to 34 in the month of November. November, we actually saw quite a reduction in our calls for service throughout the district. Up from 4 structure fires to 6. Let's see, vegetation fires were down to 0. Auto accidents were down from 5 to 2. Fire alarms at 5. One public service call, 2 hazardous conditions, and 1 illegal burn. 67 calls last month and 67 calls for the month of October and 51 calls for the month of November. So now I'm going to launch into my Christmas safety. Christmas trees burn really, really well. So keep water in the bottom of them. Unplug the lights at night or when you're not home. Don't rely on using a timer. Timers fail all the time. Christmas trees burn really, really well. It's kind of like having firewood in your home, but not in the fireplace. Secondarily, when Christmas ends and you decide you want to get rid of the Christmas tree, please just put it on your curb to have your local garbage company pick them up. I believe they do pick them up in Discovery Bay. If you try and cut them up and put them in the fireplace, by the time that rolls around, they burn way too hot. And for all of you who don't have a traditional fireplace that is brick, but a tin tube insert, you will create too much heat for that chimney and you will catch your house on fire.
Thank you. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays.
Enjoy your holiday season.
I have a comment and just an anecdotal question. Any of the fires from 4 to 6 in November resulting from turkey fryers like we talked about last month?
Actually, Thanksgiving was very, very quiet. Scary. It was like living under Damocles' sword. Nothing actually happened. Right?
And the other thing I'd like to mention related to Christmas trees is that the Boy Scouts do Christmas tree pickups throughout town through right after the holidays, and then we take those down and we use them, we mulch them, we use them throughout town. So
yeah.
That will be made available.
Don't keep them on the side yard. In the past, kids in the community have been known to light them on fire when they find them out in front of the house and so forth. So they will burn really, really well.
Can you give me an example of a public service call?
When somebody locks their keys in their car and the car is running in the garage.
Gotcha.
And your Christmas tree's in the trunk?
Yeah. Boy, that was way too easy. You answered that one way too quick. Any other questions or comments from the board? Any questions or comments from the public?
I dance.
Thank you, Chief, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
The meeting on Monday night, At the fire, DCCFPD, all that was done there, you can hang around for a second just to make sure I don't miss anything on this, but what was, they finalized the, I'm yelling at that thing, aren't I? They finalized the town hall meeting here for Discovery, well, for a number of areas, but the first one's going to be here in Discovery Bay. It's going to be on the 12th, so that's next Monday. I would encourage everybody to attend. They're going to be discussing the parcel tax and how it's going to work and what it's going to benefit and what commitments they're not willing to make. And so everybody should have received a flyer in the mail. Just out of curiosity, because I don't believe I received one. Did anybody here see a flyer in the mail from, you got one?
Mm-hmm.
So you guys out there, okay, maybe it came and my wife thought it was something else. I don't know. But anyway, the meeting is on the 12th. It's in a town hall format. There will be representatives from the ECCFPD board. There will be, and Chief Henderson will be there to explain to, and as well as our consultant, or their consultant, to explain exactly how the parcel tax will work. So I encourage as much attendance. Please spread the word. Let's get as many people over there as we can so we can, it's going to be at Discovery Bay School.
The 12th, 6:30.
At 6:30. Okay. Anything to add to that, Chief?
No, please attend.
So thank you.
You can be well informed.
Did I miss anything, Bob?
I would just add that the language for the actual ballot measure, the first draft of that will come up in January, and then a second discussion in February, because the deadline comes up like early March for making the ballot. So the actual language of the ballot measure is 30 days out, but certainly could be a topic of discussion for next week.
That would be where we would have some input, and my concern is that they're not committing to where the stations are going to be in the model. They're just saying that they're going to have X amount of stations, but with no commitment as to location. Or if they're going to expand to back to a 8-station model, and that's going to take some time, where they're going to put the stations back in, they haven't committed to either. Whether they're going to put them back in or build other stations, they haven't committed to. So anyway, enough said on that. Karen from Supervisor Pifo's office.
Good evening. Just want to start and let you guys know that we had a very successful ribbon cutting for the Vasco Road Safety Improvement Phase 1. It is nearly complete. There's just some minor little things. You shouldn't see any issues or delays from the Contra Costa County portion. It was on time, on budget, and the Public Works Department said that they were pleased with the rapid time frame that it was completed in. Phase 2 is shovel ready. So if you guys have money that we don't know about, let us know, because we are ready to complete it. I did have some flyers that I meant to bring and I left them, but I will bring them for your next one that kind of gives the fun facts for phase 1 and then the fun facts for phase 2 that are just kind of good topics for everyone to know. Supervisor Pifo continues to advocate for the preservation, restoration, and enhancement of the Delta. She recently met with Jerry Merrill, the Deputy Secretary of the California Natural Resources Agency, and a couple weeks ago she went to D.C. with the Delta Counties Coalition to continue advocating, so she had a successful trip there. Supervisor Pifo was pleased she was able to participate in last week's holiday parade. I did hear that she got an honorable mentions for her float, so we are happy to be out in the community. I know you have the toy drive going around, but it again is that time of year for the food drive. So if you feel like you want to donate, because there's always a need, you can contact our office and we can let you know how to donate to the Food Bank of Contra Costa in Solano County. We are again in that friendly war with Solano County to raise more money than they are. We are beating them right now. We would like to continue that. Supervisor Pifo will serve as the chair of the Board of Supervisors for 2012, so we'll have a lot to let you guys know about next year. And lastly, just happy holidays and a happy new year from our office and the supervisor.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Karen. Yeah, questions?
Karen, do you guys get updates on the Alameda side of the projects going on Vasco?
We do and we don't. We've tried really hard to work with them to have them notify us, because we do understand a lot of our constituents are impacted. We had a quite a time where we weren't getting them. We tried to figure that out. I do understand they are doing night work at this time. I did get stuck in it last night. I don't know if it's happening tonight, but we do and we don't, I guess is the simple answer.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Any questions from the public for the supervisor's office? Great, thank you, Karen. Appreciate it. Do we have a transplant report? County planning? Code enforcement? Special districts?
January.
Go ahead.
Enforcement January.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, consent calendar.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
I second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? Yeah.
I'm sorry, I had a question about E2 and E3. I would ask that we...
Let me change my motion to pull item 2 and item 3.
Wait a minute. Oh, you want to pull items 2 and 3?
Yes,
you want to pull items 2 and 3?
Yeah. I'm changing my motion to approve the consent calendar and pull item 2 and 3.
Second.
As I understand the motion in front of us, it's to accept item 1 on the consent calendar. Is that correct?
Yes.
Great. Any other discussion on item 1? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. At this point, let us discuss item 2. Go ahead.
Thank you. It'll be really quick. At the last meeting, I handed the board secretary and the board members a document that I asked to be part of the record of the meeting. I followed up after the meeting with the board secretary and the general manager and asked how that was going to be accomplished. Was it going to be included in the minutes of the meeting or some other way? And I haven't had a response, and I'm curious about how such a document that's asked to be part of the record is handled. I know with other county boards and commissions, those documents are routinely put within the minutes of the meeting for publication, and I haven't seen it here. So I'd like to know how that's handled.
Okay. I don't know. Has that been addressed? I would suggest that you address staff on that. I don't know.
I did.
And the response was?
None.
Then I guess the answer is it's not going to be included. I don't, is there any?
Mr. President.
I'm kind of at a loss here.
The, Mr. Flint submitted a one-page information sheet that addressed the mechanisms that are utilized to operate the audio system here in the district offices.
I recall that.
Primarily. I believe there was another.
It was the issue, yeah.
That was the issue. Okay. And, It's up to the board's discretion as to whether or not they would want that included in the minutes of the meeting. At that time, the board did not indicate that they wanted that included in the official minutes of the meeting. Therefore, I did not include them in the official minutes of the meeting. If the board would like to have them included in the official record, we can certainly do that, but that was not the direction that was given at the time when it was requested by Mr. Flint.
Okay.
I mean, just real quickly, it was more than just what you're describing, though. It was actually the point I was making for a future agenda item.
Right. That,
there was a
it
purpose.
It was a future agenda item, but it was related to the audio tapings.
Okay. Does the board have any desire to take any action on this item? Okay. What's the comment on item 3?
On the invoices from the law firm, there are 3 invoices with the same date. And I'm just curious about why there are 3 separate invoices with the same date. Are they broken out based on different accounts that are being serviced or different parts of business? Or is there a reason they're not all on one invoice?
I'll let council address that. Do you have the date so we can talk about exactly what you're talking about, Don?
It's 10/31/11.
Thank you.
Through.
Can you address that, council?
Yes, sir. Mr. Flint, you are accurate. There are different accounts that we will bill with the district pursuant to the direction that I get from staff. For instance, funding sources will affect where billings go. That would explain it.
Does that?
Yeah.
Oh, you're okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I wasn't sure. It was kind of a slow nod,
I wasn't sure.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good. Thank you for that. Thank you, Council. I would entertain a motion for items 2 and 3.
I'll make a motion to approve items 2E2 and E3 on the consent calendar.
I'll second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried unanimously. New business, item F1, staff.
Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, Director Dawson had requested a couple of times that this item be brought back, and so I'm doing so this evening. This has to do with the basically the internship program that we went into last summer. If you recall, we did it as a pilot project program, and after I believe a successful run of our first intern that we had over the course of the summer, I am firmly of the belief that if we get another quality individual as similar to the one we had, the program will continue to be successful. It can only be as successful as the dedication is of the employee and the direction that's given by staff. I'm of the belief that the overall benefit of the work effort that we receive outweighed any costs involved in the program, be it through training, that sort of thing. It's interesting that in today's day and world, as kids are growing up and getting older and entering, you know, moving from high school and into college, that they are much more technologically adept than we were at their ages, and so they bring a lot of skills to the table that that makes training really much more simplified than it would have even just a few years ago. So it's really up to the board to, if we want to move this program from a pilot project to an ongoing project. I would recommend that it be a summer internship versus an ongoing throughout the course of the year. Mm-hmm. Based on the results we had, I was very pleased with it. The individual we had worked well with staff, was funny. Sometimes we didn't even know he left. You just walk out the door. We got him to say finally, goodbye everybody, I'm leaving. But other than that, he was terrific to work with. And I would, his father's in the room. He's a bright young man, and I was happy to have him.
Okay, any comments from the board?
Ray.
Yes, Ray.
Yes, you made a comment that no matter what the cost, it would be a good thing. And I probably don't disagree, but I'd like to know what that cost is.
You know, with if I stated no matter what the cost, that was probably a misstatement on my part, and thank you for catching that. The cost that we invested with this individual was certainly well worth the benefit that we received. The true cost were the individual was placed on our workers' compensation insurance, which is a minimal dollar number. I want to say
it says $55.
I think it's $55,
yeah.
And I think that's for the whole year. If it was a yearly, and then it was just some staff time working with him and training him on certain processes and getting online with our systems and that sort of thing. The projects we had him working on were really standalone projects. They were not projects that required a lot of oversight on staff's part. We could give him a project and he could run with it. And he would obviously ask questions and review with him. So it was minimal staff time. I can't put a dollar amount on it.
Give us a ballpark. Nice Shea Stadium.
Probably in the few hundred dollar range overall. It was literally just a few minutes here and there during the course of the day. There was some reimbursed mileage as he would go around town doing things for us in his personal vehicle. There was some reimbursed mileage expenses.
Well, wouldn't that have been a cost? Because somebody would have had to do that project anyway, so that cost would have been incurred anyway, so that's not an additional cost. And really what it was is a productivity issue that's hard to quantify. In other words, somebody did have to take away from the task they were working on at the time to give him some supervision, but it was no additional cost to the district other than accounting for that time.
Correct. The other thing is a lot of the projects that I had him working on were, in some cases, were very menial tasks. They were folding and stuffing envelopes. Some of them were much more extensive than that. They were developing an emergency operation plan. And frankly, some of those things just would not have gotten done with our resources without him being here. And it's those types of projects that show up on a regular annual basis that make that type of a program beneficial.
Jordan, was he going into his freshman year? Did he just graduate, or was he between freshman and sophomore year?
He was between freshman and sophomore year.
And I think that's a good point, because he was very self-sufficient, very much a self-starter, very much understood and grasped. Every time I came in, he seemed to be really working on his own. So as we look at the program in the future, we may want to think about that more than a high school student, think about somebody in that age range, because of their ability to be self-sufficient.
I would agree.
Any other comments?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I had a lot of time of seeing the intern work, and he was a self-starter. He, every once in a while, would have a question, and it was a good question, and it was a question that needed to be asked to help him with direction. So I really support this. I think it's a great program. I think right now, in this day and age, with the competitiveness of college, giving our local students, even if we did go high school, the opportunity to build a portfolio for college, for applications, for grad school, and this gives them a taste of not only, the public sector, but, it goes political science, public administration. I mean, this can go a few different areas, and I just think that it's a great program, and I think that we did get really lucky, and we got a great kid for the first year.
We're not always going to get lucky.
No.
There are going to be times when we don't have someone that is, that meets the standards that have been set, let's say. And you cut your losses off when that happens.
Great. Any other comments by the board? Comments from the public?
So I'm breaking my vow of never commenting on this because of my son, but my comment would be, I think it would be important going forward that you probably are willing to cut your losses if you have somebody that's not working out. I think actually that whoever comes in should be drug tested. I think that you should be pretty strict about your expectations of the number of days and hours they work and hold them to it. It's too easy, I think, for some people in that age group in a fairly informal setting in an internship program to all of a sudden not make it to work half a day, whatever the deal is, not stick to their agreed upon contract, if you will. So I just think the more strict you are on it, the better, and I think it's important also not to feel bad about giving people menial work to do. And I agree with Director, good. And I agree with Director Dawson that it does help young people build a resume. And it keeps them out of trouble too, so. It's a question of how much time it is. And it might be worth next time trying to track a little more accurately the time that's spent in monitoring that person.
I think that another thing that we can do that would be really helpful is to reach out to specific departments at Pacific, University of the East Bay, any local colleges that may have programs. DVC has a really great political science program.
But they got to be residents.
Hmm?
They have to be local.
Well, the local kids go to Pacific and University of the East Bay. We got to reach out.
Great. I guess that's it.
All right.
Do you have more comments?
I'd like to make a motion.
Oh, go ahead.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the implementation of the Discovery Bay Work Experience Project internship program to be a yearly program in the summer.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, the motion carried unanimously. Thank you for that report, staff. Let us now talk about Garaventa Enterprises and their use of our property.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, public. This is an item that has come to us from Garaventa Enterprises, a request of them to utilize a portion of our wastewater treatment plant 2. It's identified on the site map. The area is marked out. They, as you know, are going to be rolling out their new three-bin garbage collection system here in the next couple months, or the next month or so. And they need a place to store and stage and roll out the bins as they come in from the manufacturer, get them stored, sorted, and then get rolled out into the community. And so they would like to lease this space from us if the board's willing to do so. The terms would be that it's an approximately 6 weeks, I believe it's 47 days actually. And the cost they would be willing to pay is $2,500 for the use of the space, along with all insurance requirements as well. There's an agreement attached, and the cost of three 40 yard roll off bins. As you're aware, we've been doing a lot of cleanup work down at the plants, getting a lot of debris that's built up over the years, and we're like to fill those things up, and they've offered those to us in addition to the $2,500 free of charge. So if the board likes, we can move forward in that direction. If you have any questions, happy to answer them.
Just out of curiosity, what does it cost us for one of those bins? We've been doing it for quite a while. Do you know what
they're about $400 each.
So that's another $1,200 figure in value. In barter, you might say?
In barter.
Any questions from the board? Any questions?
I do.
Yes.
Make sure they have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
We've already received
it. All right.
And we're named as additional insurance?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I'd just like to throw out there, I'm not totally pleased with letting them have access to the treatment plant. That's right next to the UV system, and there's going to be lots of people walking in and out. I have a concern about that. I'm not sure that's worth what we're going to pay.
It's a very good question, Director Tetro. It's a small crew. They'll be coming in on 18-wheelers with the new bins. A person will be delivering them, putting them on site, and then there's two crews that will be in like big U-Haul vans, not trucks, but like, you know, the U-Haul carriers. Yeah, and they will use those to roll out into town. So they'll come in, load them up, and they'll leave right in town, and they will be providing supervision.
Okay, you know what? That is a great point, and I'm a little curious as to why you're picking a spot that has got it will take some maneuvering of an 18-wheeler to get into when you have that large area over the back truck usually parks. Why would you just put them over there? Why are you hiding it behind and next to and in that tight little area right there when you have that large area right in front of the ox ditch or to the north of the ox ditch that's wide open asphalt.
We consider that location as well, but we felt that for our internal operations, right now we have all of our generators and our vehicles are all parked over there. The area that's outlined was thought to be easier actually for the rollout, for the 18-wheelers to come in. They come in, they back up, and they deliver right to that area. It's actually a pretty good size area. It's not that small. The map makes it look very small.
Okay.
We can, if it's the board pleasure to move them to that other location, further away from our equipment, that's fine too.
That would be certainly.
Yeah. We can relocate the generators and the.
Nothing over plant one that.
No, there's not that plant one's not really an option.
Okay. Would you like to make a motion, Director Petro, anyway, on this?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Comments from the public. Okay, would somebody like to take action on this item?
So are we going to direct staff to move the location, or are we going to keep
it? That would depend on how the motion reads.
Well,
I would feel more comfortable especially if they're coming in with an 18-wheeler with a trailer to try to maneuver back up. I mean. Granted, it is larger, but I've been over there. There's not a ton of room between the end of the UV and the building right there. So I would definitely feel more comfortable. And if we have to relocate our equipment temporarily, or, you know, as long as there's not, that's a large area over there.
Yeah.
So I would recommend that the motion include moving it to that area north of the ox ditch.
All right.
If I can also add, before you make your motion, you might want to also include in the motion that there's security there at all times when they're there, that somebody's actually there.
Yeah, that they're there during open,
yeah,
regular hours. That's a given, I'm hoping.
Yeah, I put it in the motion.
Okay.
They use the word supervision versus security. Would you like to stipulate security versus
somebody
supervision?
Has responsibility. I mean,
okay.
Supervision will work, yeah.
All right, I make a motion that the board approve the lease agreement between the Town of Discovery Bay Community Service District and Garaventa Enterprises to lease a portion of the site at Wastewater Treatment Plant 2 for a term beginning December 19th, 2011 through February 3rd, 2012, with the change in the site and mentioning of supervision while they're on the facility grounds.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, the motion carries unanimously. I would now invite Karen up to talk to us about Cornell. No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is pretty standard. We're just bringing forward acceptance of the phase one of the Cornell Park playground replacement project. We've already accepted phase two. The contractor on this finaled their grading at the beginning of November. We finaled our building permit last week. Part of the acceptance would be the filing of the notice of the completion, after which 35 days later, we would release the retention on the project.
I'm sorry, I was daydreaming. Thank you. I'm sorry, that was horrible. I heard every word you said, though. I just didn't realize you were done. So, is there a motion to accept it?
I'll make a motion to accept this.
Thank you. Thank you for bailing out.
That.
And it's been seconded. Any discussion?
Point of order, you need to invite public comment.
Yes. Is there any comments from the public? Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Karen, for your presentation.
All those in favor?
I'm sorry. All those... All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, the motion carried unanimously. This is time for director's comments and president's report. Directors, any comments? Starting at my right. Mr. Tetro.
No, thank you.
Director Simon.
No, thank you.
Director Dawson.
I just wanted to thank Director Vice President Steele for judging the parade, which was fantastic, and I want to thank everyone involved with the cleanup and the preparation and putting it on. And you know, I really think that maybe next year we might think of being a bigger participant in the parade, so like with a float.
Director Steele, any comments?
Kevin, you run a good meeting. I just want to thank again the town and the community for coming out for the Parade of Lights. Had a good turnout, several thousand people, and it looks like the floats and the participants took it up a notch this year. So I just say good job to the town. Met a lot of our constituents and out there, and they were so positive what we're up to. So good job. Thanks.
The only additional report I have is that Director Steele and I participated in a webinar. It was put on by a consultant, Brent Ives, which talked about the responsibilities of being a good board member and how it works the best, what our responsibilities are with regards to dealing with the public, dealing with staff. It was very informative. It ran on over time, but it was very interesting. Nobody was rushing to get out of here. We actually came and took part in it here. And I would recommend to the future, as this will probably be my last meeting in this seat, that whoever is the president next year might want to actually bring Mr. Ives in and do a program. I also had the opportunity to sit in one of his seminars down in Monterey at the CSDA meeting, and he does a great job. But he's local; he's out of Tracy, so that was a very well invested middle of the day appointment that we had. The only other thing I would like to say is that there's been talking and I think some clarity is needed with regards to what's going on with the Brown Act and our attempts to be consistent with the Brown Act. And in order to do that, there's been a slight change in the language of the paragraph that talks about public comment, in that the items that the public may comment on the agenda, according to the language of the Brown Act, is items that are before the board for consideration. It's a small change, but it's, again, consistent with the language of the Brown Act. The two items that that would affect would be items that fall under the category of director's comments and under the category of future agenda items. Neither one of those items has any consideration by the board, and so there would not be any need for the public to comment on those. Manager's report.
Can I have a change of heart?
Yes, go ahead.
I have a comment because I should have said it. We had our last community center meeting, which Director Steele and I both attended, and I think we came up with a real good document that will be presented to the board, I believe, the next meeting, first week in January. And so thank you for Mr. Steele and the rest of our board. I think they worked real hard.
And that reminds me, we had our last communications committee meeting also, and I believe that we're going to be bringing some good comments to the board too.
Well, we'll see about that.
And I would like to thank the community members that participated. Mr. Richardson was a regular attendee, as well as the people that were on that, and Director Steele for assisting in that endeavor. And I think we really came up with some pretty good directions to move for communications. Okay, thank you, Ray. Moving on to manager's report.
I have three brief items for you. One is just to remind the board as well as the community that we do have the special meeting tomorrow night over at Timber Point School beginning at 6:30 p.m. and that is for the consideration and the options related to the dog park, set the off-leash free park. That's number one. Number two is I would like to ask the board to set up a date in January, if we could. The date I have tentatively, I like to throw out there, is January the 14th for our 2012 planning workshop. We did it last year, if you recall, on a Saturday morning. It would be the same, very similar format to that. And I'm looking at January the 14th. It's a Saturday morning, and we don't need to make that decision tonight unless you want to. But I would like to start getting that in the getting that scheduled. That's in the hopper.
Well, I could schedule it.
What schedule
would you like?
Yeah.
Well, I'm.
That's 1 week before this to the town.
Yeah. I don't.
Same problem.
Is you, are you around?
I think so. I've got to look and see, but I think I'm here. I'm not sure.
Okay.
What time?
I was going to suggest 9 to noon.
So this is a special workshop.
Like we did last year.
Very similar to what we did last year,
which
yes.
Which is entitled?
Workshop. 2012 Planning Workshop. 2012 Board Planning Workshop.
Great. I would...
That's the 14th?
Think pending mm-hmm. the... At this point...
I will go ahead and schedule that
yeah.
Pending anything that jumps up from the five of you that does not work, if you could let me know as soon as possible. Otherwise, we'll go ahead and get that scheduled.
Share the time again, 9 o'clock?
9 a.m. to noon.
Okay. Anything else, Rick?
One last item is that the next board meeting is scheduled for December the 21st, and staff would like to know if you would like to have that meeting or if you'd like to move it into the new year. It is Christmas week.
You anticipate light? Can we still pay the bills and do the things we need to do?
Yeah, we would go ahead and pay the bills and come back with a ratification report at the following meeting. And it would still require, as usual, two board members to sign the checks, that sort of thing.
I say Merry Christmas and let's move into January.
The last 3 years we didn't hold a meeting. So.
Okay. Yeah. That'd be fine. This will be the last meeting of the year.
Other than tomorrow.
Other than, well, the last regular board meeting, scheduled board meeting.
I have one last item.
You're allowed three.
I know, I said three and I meant four. I apologize. And I'm thinking of the
it's
toy
okay.
bin.
Everybody makes mistakes.
The toy bin and back. The staff has challenged, we've challenged the staff to fill that bin. And we challenge the community to go, if you haven't done so already, to help fill the bins. They are located throughout town. Thank you.
Okay. Legal, district, Barry, you didn't have anything, did you?
No.
Okay. District council, or district council's report.
Thank you, President Graves, board members. Just a brief summary again that tonight you had a special meeting at 6:30. This was the report that was made out of closed session, that the board had been in closed session regarding action items D1 and D2, that all five board members were present during the entirety of the meeting, and that there was no reportable action on either item. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ray and I actually jumped the gun again on the committee report. We already made our committee report, so there's the updates have been given. Correspondence is listed. Is there any discussion or action on any of the correspondence that's listed? Okay. Public records are there. Are there any future agenda items from the board? Okay. Then meeting is adjourned.
I can tell you that meeting in January is